Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's going on, y'all? We are back on the Believe in Ravens podcast. I am Kyrie Thompson. That is Daniel Wilcox over there. On his way back from some baseball tournaments with his youngins. Trying out a new microphone. A lot going on over there in the world of Daniel Wilcox. How you doing, my man?
Doing great, Kyle, man. Happy to be back with the Believe in Ravens podcast, man. Miss you, my brother. Excited about this episode, man. And we get a chance to talk a little bit about what's going on around the league with the Ravens and a bunch of these guys jumping ship.
Yep. As you may or may not have found out, the NFL's legal tampering period has opened for free agency. Basically, free agency is open. The new league year, of course, begins on Wednesday, which it will be by the time this episode drops. And then these deals, I believe, as of noon on Wednesday, assuming physicals are good and nobody backs out or whatever, then those deals will become, you know, they'll become binding. They'll become official, all that good stuff. So, a lot of big news in Ravens land. I mean, okay, we can start off, first of all, with the additions, the new guys arriving to the Baltimore Ravens, and king among them, King Henry himself. Look, this is a guy that we thought might come to the Ravens in at the trade deadline last year. He is now a Baltimore Raven. I am talking, of course, about Derrick Henry, future Hall of Fame running back coming over from the Tennessee Titans. He spent his whole career there, blossomed into one of the best running backs we've ever seen. Now he is coming to the Baltimore Ravens. What's your reaction to that?
Man, Kyrie, I love it. I mean, I've been waiting on this since the trade deadline, although I didn't think we needed him at the trade deadline. I think this is perfect timing. You know, you reevaluate your backfield, figure out who you're going to get rid of, who you're going to keep. I thought him bringing them in during the trade deadline was kind of disrupt the chemistry of the team. You know, you trying to go to a Super Bowl, et cetera. You know, now you got to play a guy like that. You can't sit him on the bench if you bring him in. So I think they waited and did it the right way. You know, Gus Edwards is out now. And now you bring a guy like Derrick Henry in to replace a guy like Gus. I would love to see him and Gus on the field at the same time. But at the same time, it really don't really make sense for us. You know, why pay guys that kind of money to be in the running back backfield when they're pretty much the exact same guy? You just got a bigger version of Gus, you know, coming to your backfield. The thing that I love, Kyrie, is that we have to put some respect on the Baltimore Ravens name when it comes to running the ball. We've been pounding the rock since 1996, baby. That's what we do. We do it better than almost anybody in the league. And, you know, we lost the game. This last game we lost.
Because you didn't run the football.
Because we did not run the football and play Baltimore Raven football. John Harbaugh's main statement since day one walking into the complex is play like a Raven.
Right? I mean, I don't know if y'all can tell. This man is still hot about that loss. And you know,
absolutely.
I don't blame you. I mean, that was hard. And I think
I'm gonna start a new hashtag, Kyrie. Coach like a Raven. You know what I'm saying? Coach like a Raven. We can't call the plays and run them too. Coach like a Raven.
Yes. And you know what? I think what's interesting about that is people talking about, look, Derrick Henry, he's had a lot of carries in his career. And yeah. last year was, quote unquote, a down year. People talk, oh, Derrick Henry's washed. It's like this man was washed with 1,100 yards, yeah. right? Like, and I think the other thing that you got to keep in mind is, and yeah, I think eventually, you know, Derrick Henry's, you know, the tread is going to come off the tires because that's just how it is for running backs. He's been in the league for 8 years. He has toted the rock a ton, but he is one of the craziest physical specimens I've ever seen at the running back position. He is just a like brute strength and power. I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be viable. Because he's still fast. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. He's still straight line fast. He can still run away from you at this point. 30 years old. I mean, I think you're probably going to get, you know, at least one, you know, a couple seasons out of it. The thing about his numbers, right, is he only averaged about 68, 69 yards a game last year. But you got to look at what the Tennessee Titans were. That was a terrible team. Yeah. Derrick Henry was the only damn thing they had offensively. True. I mean, well, they had DeAndre Hopkins, but we also got to keep in mind that they were playing, you know, Ryan Tannehill, who's Ryan Tannehill is kind of meh. And then they were playing Will Levis, who had like one good game, and then he was terrible after that. And so teams were just like, we're not going to let Derrick Henry run the football. We're going to make Will Levis beat us throwing the football. So absolutely. What does that mean? 8-man, 9-man boxes, just throw everybody up in there. Go ahead and run the ball. Go ahead and hand it to Derrick Henry. That's fine. We'll take that. You want to go ahead and do that against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson? That's it. Well, first of all, you want to be careful about loading up the box on Derrick Henry just because if Lamar Jackson pulls the ball and you get sucked in, you're already in trouble if he's running the football. And secondly, Lamar Jackson tore up heavy boxes last year. And you're starting to see, I mean, Mark Andrews when he's healthy, Zay Flowers when he's healthy, you go ahead and get yourself another playmaker potentially on offense. Like, this is not an offense that you can now just say, oh, we'll load the box and we'll take care of them. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You don't want to try that. So I think this is about as good a place as you could have for Derrick Henry to still make some hay in his later years. And the other thing we got to talk about, we got to see how he's recovering, but you talked about losing Gus Edwards, right? And how you just got like kind of a bigger, and my thought is better version of Gus Edwards. You still got Keaton Mitchell. That is the most thunder and lightning combo I have ever heard of in a running back room. Freaking Derrick Henry, all a 6'2", why am I talking about 6'2"? No, he's more like 6'4", 6'5", and 240 pounds just barreling down on you. And then Mitchell and his, you know, 5'9", you know, it might be, you know, 180, 190 or whatever, but he runs a 4.2. I mean,
we're going to say 205, 205.
Okay. We'll give him some generous poundage. Though Keaton's not small though.
Keaton's not
a shrimp. He's short, but he's not little. You know what I mean? But dude is crazy fast. So, I mean, the change of pace is insane when you think about those running backs. I mean, that could be a hell of a running offense this year.
I think so, too. I love the fact that we added speed by bringing him in. You know, Derrick Henry is a fast guy. I mean, people don't think they don't look at him and think that he's fast because he's so explosive and so powerful when he stiff arms you and he breaks tackles and he's hard to bring down. So you look at him like he's a power back, but he could take it the distance just like anybody else in this league. So you don't lose much speed by having them in the game, but you gain a ton of power, and what you gain is the respect factor. You know,
I want to give you a little stat right here just to get to that. I looked this up from Ryan Mink on Twitter. He does stuff for the Baltimore Ravens, like Twitter account and research for them. Next Gen Stats has a stat called sustained top speed. So it's how long if you can maintain a top speed for more than half a second, right? So it's really building it up and maintaining speed. The leaderboard for all NFL running backs last year, Chase Brown, 21.99 miles an hour, so almost exactly 22. Keaton Mitchell, number two, 21.95. Devon Achane with the Miami Dolphins, we know that dude's a burner. Jerome Ford. And then who's number five on that list, you think?
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Top five.
all 6'4", 250 pounds of this dude running 21 and a half miles an hour. This dude can still run away from people. Absolutely. Like that's not just a between the tackles, you know, 3 yards at a cloud of dust. That is, you screw up with your angle and you're lining up for the extra point.
Well said. Well said. I mean, the thing I like most about Derrick Henry, saying I'm getting another year or two out of him. He may get more than out of him. He reminds me of a James Harrison type at running back, where he just hits the weight room and he hits it hard, just crazy workouts. And, you know, he takes pride in making sure his body is ready for the punishment that it's going to take. And I try to tell my 18-year-old this all the time. You know, you get in the gym because it makes you feel like a machine. You get in there and you prepare yourself like a warrior. And then by the time you hit the field, you feel like you're prepared and ready for anything. And you feel invincible. You want to feel invincible by the time you hit that field. And the way Derrick Henry trains every offseason, he comes into every season feeling like he's invincible.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Like, nobody can break him, nobody can hurt him, and I love that about him. I love how hard he goes in the offseason, how hard he trains. And trust me when I tell you, he just, anytime you get traded to a new team, it's like you just got drafted all over again in the first round. And it's this burst of energy that comes along with it. And he's going to come in here trying to prove a point. And he's going to try to be an immediate impact for this program and this team. And I think, I mean, I don't think Eric DaCosta could have done a better job by picking up him. Great job, ED. Great job.
Yes. And, you know, we've talked about the, you know, Derrick Henry joining, obviously. And then we also want to talk about, I want to talk about the guy that the Ravens shelled out some big money for to keep him in town. Justin Madubuike, interior defensive lineman, had an unbelievable year last year, and he gets paid like it. Gets extended to a big $98 million contract. And he was somebody that we were talking about before the show. You thought that he was going to get franchise tagged just to make sure he didn't leave town, because otherwise he was going to command a pretty hefty payday, and the Ravens are actually the ones that pay it up. What'd you think of that?
I was actually surprised. I thought, you know, the Ravens obviously got an inside scoop on Madubuike, so they know it's not a fluke. You know, when you pay a guy the way you paid him, then they trust him to go do what he got to do in the offseason to put the work ethic in and come back ready to play and just dominate the league again next year. You know, so they obviously believe in him that he's going to get the job done. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid him. I would have franchise tagged him another year because I don't have the inside scoop like they do, you know. So I would have franchise tagged him, you know, paid that minimum or whatever I had to pay for the franchise tag, whether it was $10 million or $12 million or whatever it may be. And then came back the next year and then he did it again. I was like, all right, we got to pay this guy. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, the Ravens are one of the smartest organizations in the league. I love the fact that they paid him. One thing that players love, Kyrie, is being able to have some stability with your wife, with your kids, you know, changing schools, your kids not having to change schools. You know, you'd be able to get a house and instead of having to live in an apartment or a hotel, man, it's a great thing for Madubuike. I'm super happy for him. Love the fact that the Ravens went ahead and paid him. He earned it. He definitely earned, not given. I'm proud of him as a former Raven player. You know, I'm proud of him for getting his payday. He deserves it.
Absolutely. And I wanted to talk about, I mentioned this to you before, that I saw a tweet that really got my wheels turning, where somebody was asking, why are offensive guards getting paid this crazy money?
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing guards getting like $100 million on the open market now. And, you know, Michael Onwenu, a guy that I've watched a lot with the New England Patriots, you know, he got like $19 million a year to stay with the Patriots. People are like, dude, what is going on here? Why are guards getting paid that much? Because usually guard was a position that you would think about like, eh, you know, we could probably get by with a B or C player there as long as we got good tackles or, you know, what have you, right? But the answer to that tweet was, and somebody posed that, was like, yeah, guards started getting paid when defensive tackles started getting paid, because everybody thinks of the defensive end, the outside linebackers, the edges being the ones that, you know, they're always going to go get the passer. They're the most important ones out there. That's a premium position, you know, and that's why offensive tackles get paid like they do, because you got to protect the quarterback from the blind side and all that good stuff. But now I think people are starting to realize a little bit more. Defensive interior can be a premium position too. When you've got difference makers in there that are blowing up the interior, that's honestly worse for an offense. You can scheme and sort of mitigate an edge rusher a little bit. Like you could throw chips at them, or you could run away from them, or, you know, quick game screen or what have you. And you could kind of deal with that in any variety of ways. But when you got a guy who's just caving in the pocket every single time, you can't step up, and then you have to run into the arms of those waiting edges that are out there, or you can't attack the middle of the field because you're just getting blown up. That is honestly even worse for quarterbacks. And so people are starting to realize, like, damn, we got a dominant three technique, or a dominant nose tackle, or a dominant, you know, one technique. Like, if those guys are over there tearing it up inside and screwing everything up for the offense, that's valuable too. And if you're going to block those guys and you're going to keep them off the quarterback, you got to pay those guys as well. So it's all becoming a premium position up front.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The league has changed. It's not the same league anymore. It's a super pass heavy league. It's two hand touch. You got to keep guys off the quarterback, you know, as much as possible. The defensive linemen are now eating like crazy. And when you got D linemen eating like that, you know, you have to pay those guys to protect the QB, to keep them off of them. You know, we have some of the best interior linemen in the league. I love the fact that we got guys to protect Lamar. And I think this will be a recurring trend that you will continue to see, and it'll continue to move forward and grow. And these guys, they deserve to get paid too. I feel like everybody on the field deserves to get paid. I'm happy to see the tight ends finally starting to get paid for real too. So it's a blessing, man. I love it. You know, we're out here, we're entertainers and we're actors, we're movie stars, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, gladiators, you know, in so many sense of a form of fashion, people turn their TV on, the television on, to be entertained by us. And I love to see the offensive interior linemen, you know, getting what they deserve, because they never get any other love, you know, from the reporters and the news and all that type of stuff. Man, that was a heck of a block by the O lineman. As you say, Derrick Henry had 300 yards rushing today. He did it all by himself. You know, great job, Derrick Henry.
It never happened one time. Never.
As the offensive lineman should be right there in that media room with Derrick Henry when he runs that, you know, those 300-400 yards rushing in one game. The O-line should be in that media room. They all should be interviewed as well. And this is just the world. This is the way things happen. This is God looking out for the offensive lineman. Good job, interior lineman. Love you guys.
Let's go. Yes. Now, let's get to some of the guys that have left town. I know look, there are a couple of them that are going to be sore spots. All right. Yeah. We mentioned, you know, Gus Edwards left. He went to Seattle. We kind of expect that one. Mike McDonald, the former Ravens defensive coordinator, just went over there and you know, became the head coach. So, yeah, he takes Gus Edwards, and, you know, they take some staff members probably, you know, what have you. But you understand that. But then you got Patrick Queen going over to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That hurts.
Geno Stone going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Division on division crime. First of all, before we even get into that, this seems like something that happens relatively frequently, where when guys hit free agency, if you've been doing a number on a team in your division, or you've been dominating your division for a long time, the teams that have seen you up close the most are the teams that want to get a first crack at you. Have you kind of noticed that? Like, was it like that during your career? Did you notice that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we would take guys from Tennessee all the time. We took Steve McNair, of course, and then we went and got Derek Mason, his favorite target, you know, and we also had Samari Roll as well. Now we got Derek Henry, you know, so, I mean, it's I think it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We never really traded players within the division like that. I can't remember a guy from Pittsburgh. Nope, we had a quarterback one time that came there from Pittsburgh, but that was it, you know. But James Harrison was a Baltimore Raven before he was a Steeler. You know, so is this guy's. I mean, Patrick Queen going over to Pittsburgh, that sucks, man. Like, when I just think about seeing number six into that black and gold with a terrible towel and all that type of stuff, it's such a weird vibe. It's such a weird vibe to become a Raven.
I feel like you're going to be sick.
I'm sick right now.
It's like you're going to see it and you're just going to get physically ill. You're going to want to throw something. I can already see it in you. I see it in you right now.
And my stomach's turning.
And it's funny too, because as soon as it happened, like I saw somebody say, like, man, like Pittsburgh just going like way back in the way back machine with their linebackers. Like, I'm surprised that they signed them so big. And I'm just like, well, the Ravens just signed Derrick Henry. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of like, yeah, we need some beef to go ahead and deal with that.
You're definitely going to need something to stop that kid. I mean, just to think him with our offensive line and then with Lamar Jackson with the play action and the RPO schemes and stuff that we run with him, man, if we really turn this thing up, it's going to be hard for people to stop Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson coming out of the backfield. Now you really take a lot of the heat off Lamar as far as running the ball. So what do you do now? Do you actually have him run the ball more this year? Because now Derrick Henry is going to open up lanes for him that he probably would normally not get. You know, if you give anybody a heavy dose of Derrick Henry right off the rip, everybody's now going to have to prepare for that. You know, and then you still got Zay Flowers, you still got Isaiah Likely, you still got Mark Andrews. I love the fact that, you know, Patrick Ricard posted something today about blocking for Derrick Henry and pancaking Patrick Queen two times a season. You know, I love that. You know, that's the stuff that you want to see nowadays. We didn't get a chance to have those type of, you know, worldwide conversations.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When we played in this league, it wasn't any Twitter, it wasn't any...
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Instagram or any of that stuff. So it's kind of cool, man, to kind of watch all this stuff, you know, develop and unfold the way that it has.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough to see that. Cause I've really grown to appreciate Patrick Queen so much this year. I mean, he's been a good player, you know, the entire time. But seeing him next to Roquan, and I think the way that it revitalized Queen going into a contract year, I think that was really special to watch. And Geno Stone, I mean, so obviously we're talking about Queen first, but, you know, Geno Stone is a guy that, I mean, he was leading the league in interceptions for a good minute there. Yeah. And as a bench player, like, he was only playing because, like, one of Marcus Williams or Kyle Hamilton would be hurt. And then he just comes in and starts making game-changing plays. And it's like a guy like that, you deserve to get paid. Good on you, bro. And it's funny because one of the biggest plays he made, especially earlier in the year, was robbing Joe Burrow. Like, it was like week two where he swipes Joe Burrow in the end zone, and, you know, for a big interception. It's like that one stuck with me. And so, look, in the end, and as especially, like, and you were just kind of alluding to it, is You're all trying to, you know, feed your families and you know, get that life-changing money that's going to help you, you know, help your parents, help your kids, help your wife, you know, all of that. And, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, the division opponent, that's where the next job is. So you go out there, you do your thing, and yeah, maybe you might, you know, hate a dude, you know, because you hate that uniform, you know, the you know, black and gold and, you know, what have you, and the terrible towels. But in the end, you know, it's like you're all in the brotherhood together.
Yeah, it kind of feels like he's trading. Though he's a traitor right now, though. I'm not going to even lie to you. Feels really weird. It's going to be weird to see Patrick Queen in the Steeler uniform next year. I don't even know how we dropped the ball and let that happen. I feel like he should have been a Raven. You know, I know it's hard to pay all these guys. You know, I don't know how you fix that. You know, being a GM, this, when you have a situation like this with your guys, when you almost go to a Super Bowl and you go to an AFC championship, that means you got a team full of phenomenal players. You know, you have to decide every year who you're going to let go and who you're going to get rid of. I mean, losing Geno Stone, I think, is a huge loss for us. Losing Gus Edwards, huge loss for us. Losing freaking Patrick Queen, you know, right next to Roquan Smith, huge loss for us. You know, I don't know how you overcome those losses. You know, you go get guys like Derrick Henry, of course, that helps, you know, in the running back room, you know, and then you got to figure out who else you're going to let go and how you're going to free up some more cap space so you can go get some big guys to be able to replace a guy like Patrick Queen. You know, that's hard to do. And a Geno Stone, man. Geno has been solid. He has been a solid Baltimore Raven from day one, from the first day he stepped on the field, and has gotten better every single year. The bad thing about it, he goes to Cincinnati knowing all our tricks, all our secrets, all our calls, all our plays, everything. And they get a chance to be able to get that stuff from Geno in Cincinnati, and they get a chance to be able to get those same things from Patrick Queen in Pittsburgh, two of our arch nemesis, two of the hardest teams that we got to freaking play. Yeah. And then, you know, I can't wait to see what Cleveland's going to do. They still got time on the clock, you know, but they got to go get somebody else from Baltimore as well so they can have some cheat codes on their end as well. So that's a blessing for these teams, man. I'm telling you, it's a huge blessing. And then you go to Seattle and Mike McDonald goes over there. And, you know, of course, he's going to take some guys with him. And I'm happy for Mike. He deserves it. He's worked his butt off in this league, and he continues to grow and continues to get better. And I wanted to see him continue to grow as a D coordinator, because I still think he was just scratching the surface with what he was going to be able to do in this league. You know, now he got a head coaching position, you know, and so that D coordinator stuff kind of drops out of the window for a while. And hope he has a great experience in Seattle. I think it's a super, super dope program. I love the fans in Seattle, love the stadium. The atmosphere is electric. And he could bring some youth and some young energy to Seattle as a head coach that may turn around that program and get it back on track to be great again.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the Cleveland Browns. You know, they made a couple of, I think, under the radar-ish moves. You know, they traded for Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos. I think Jerry Judy's fine. I don't think that's a big difference-making player for them at this point. I mean, it's funny because you watch what Jerry Jeudy was at Alabama and you thought to yourself, like, damn, this guy's going to come in the league and be crazy, juking people out of their shoes and route running extraordinaire. He really just, not really. I mean, kind of just a guy. But
he's been in Denver, though. He's been in Denver now. Come on now. He's been there with Russell Wilson and that whole debacle they had at the head coaching and OC jobs, different OCs, different head coaches in 2 years. He's been underneath that. This might be a huge change for him. It might be different, Kai. Let's see.
I think what's going to be interesting, though, is this whole Deshaun Watson deal, because, I mean, Deshaun Watson had the best game he's had as a Cleveland Brown against the Ravens last year. Yeah, it was like the one good game he had. For the most part, he's been brutal, man. He's not been very good. And so it's like, which Deshaun Watson are we getting? Are we going to get the one that the Browns thought they were getting? Or are we going to get the one that's been there for the last couple of years where I think it's just been really weird? And and so I don't know. I feel like I still can't trust the Browns. Then again, of course, the Browns defense is still going to be awesome because Myles Garrett is going to be requiring quadruple teams for the rest of his life in order to stop him. But then, you know, they get Jameis Winston as a backup. And I don't know. I feel like they're a sneaky candidate, or they were, maybe not so much now, but a sneaky candidate for, you know, say like a backup quarterback move, or like maybe even drafting a guy to park behind Deshaun Watson, park behind Jameis Winston, let him grow a little bit. And then shell him out, you know, in the next couple of years when it's time to, you know, drop Deshaun Watson and shed that contract. Well, I mean, as much as you can, because it's all guaranteed. So,
right.
We'll see what they end up doing with that, if they trade him or, you know, what have you, if this continues to falter. But real quick, before we get going here, what are you looking for in terms of what you want the Ravens to do for the rest of free agency? What positions are you interested in?
Offensive line. That's pretty much it for me. Would like to see the offensive line get better. I want better protection for Lamar. I want him to sit back there in the pasture like Tom Brady, like back in the pocket like Tom Brady used to in the back in the days, and just pat the ball five or six times and be able to throw the ball to whoever he wants to throw it to. I think we need another receiver still, you know, another explosive receiver, somebody with some speed, you know, that could come in and kind of blow the top off of it still. I don't think OBJ is coming back for sure. I definitely don't think that's happening. You know, I think the great part about having him there was that he drew respect. Hey, don't forget we got OBJ over there. You know, I think that helps. But I think Zay Flowers still needs some leadership. An older guy, I think, with some experience would be great to kind of bring in here at the receiver spot to be able to still kind of take him underneath his wing and kind of give him some tutelage. Somebody that Zay respects, though. It has to be somebody that he actually respects as a receiver. I think we're solid at the tight end spot. Defensively, I think you got to go get a linebacker. If you got rid of Patrick Queen, you got to bring in at least two guys to replace him. He was that good, you know. And then you got to definitely add some depth to the secondary. Corners would be my main interest on the defensive side of the ball, to go get some corners that could hold these guys up and cover these guys a little bit longer so these D linemen we have can get to the QB. You know, we was probably about one step away about 50 more sacks this year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think cornerback is going to be an interesting one. That mm-hmm. was kind of what they were trying to do last year, is, you know, next to Marlon Humphrey, find a veteran guy that was going to be solid on the other side of things. And I feel like they did a good job, you know, with, you know, kind of committee assignment.
They did.
I feel like that's going to be another position they look for depth wise. I actually think it's going to be a bit. It's also going to be a bit like last year, where they're looking for edges, like veteran edge talent, mm-hmm. you know, to come in and provide a spark. You know, I don't know. I feel like I'd be interested to see if Jadeveon Clowney wanted to come back, because he had himself a nice year, and I knew the talent was there, but I didn't entirely expect the pass rush juice. And I always have the caveat with Clowney that, like, oh, if he can stay healthy. He stayed healthy and he was really damn impactful. So I would be down to see if he wanted to come back, you know, at an affordable rate. As for the receivers and the offensive line, I feel like those are things that you're probably not going to get to your satisfaction in free agency. I feel like a lot of that, especially offensive tackle, you want to talk about tackle, I feel like that's going to come in the draft. There are a lot of good tackles, and honestly, there's a lot of good offensive linemen, period, in this draft. Like, I went down to the Shrine Bowl in Dallas, and those weren't even like the top flight interior offensive line prospects. And right. I thought they were all good. Like, I was just like, I'll take him. I just want all of them. Right.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have some good tackle options as well, I think, towards the end of the first round, if you're the Baltimore Ravens.
We need one.
And then wide receiver. Look, there are wide receivers everywhere in this draft. Everywhere. So, I mean, you could probably get one that matters from, you know, round one all the way down through round four. Like, I think that's just how many interesting receivers there are going to be in this draft. So I think that's probably how it's going to happen, where even if you get a guy in free agency, it's going to be something like, I don't know, without like Taj Boyd or something, right? Like, that's going to be the kind of receiver that you get in free agency. But in the draft, mm-hmm. could be interesting.
Yeah, we need another Zay Flowers. We can get another kid like Zay Flowers that's a bigger body that could go up and get it and just be kind of freakish, would be awesome. A Randy Moss type or a Megatron type. Not that they're growing on trees around here.
Johnny Wilson and his go-go gadget ass arms. Like, that would be crazy. This dude's got like an 84-inch wingspan. He's out there running like a 4.4. It just doesn't make no damn sense. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I could see Xavier Leggett or something like that being an interesting candidate. Just somebody just like, hey, just go run that way. You know, I'm just going to chuck it. You know what I mean? I could see that being a fit for the Ravens as well. But I'm with you. You got to keep on building out this offense. The defense is really good. Obviously, you got to keep the machine going. But, you know, wide receiver especially has been the thing that the Ravens have not been able to consistently figure out. And Zay Flowers looks like he could be good, which is a plus. But now you got to get more depth.
Yeah. You got to make sure you got his head on right, too. He had the little mishap right at the end of the season. And supposedly she dropped the charges. That's a blessing for him. But, you know, anytime you get your name in the papers, it's not good as an NFL player. So I'm wishing the best for Zay and hopefully that stuff turns around in his favor and he continues to prosper. And hopefully he learns from this situation because, you know, a lot of times you just, you know, the people that you think got your best interest at heart don't always have it. You know, so just be smart. Hope he moves better.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, when I met Zay, definitely had the impression he's a good kid. Don't be messing things up, man. You know, we want to keep rooting for you. We want you to have all the best things. Just stay out of trouble. And all of y'all, stay out of trouble. Don't get too crazy on the social media or the interwebs. None of that. As free agency goes on, I know it's crazy. I know it drives everybody a little bit nuts. We still got more than a month until the draft. And it's going to get even crazier when that happens. I know y'all have a lot of opinions. Please tune into the podcast. Listen to what we have to say. We'd love to hear what you have to say as well. Go ahead and hit us up. I'm on Twitter at KDThompson5. That guy, Danny Wilcox, is all over the place. You know, at Coach Wilcox on Twitter. I know he's on IG as well. It's probably where you spend most of your time, I figure, right?
Nah, Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. Go find Go find Danny Wilcox on Twitter and go bother him about the Believe in Ravens podcast on there.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's do it.
Till then, I'm Kyrie Thompson. I'm Danny Wilcox.
Let's do it.
And this is Believe in Ravens. See you later.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.